top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the Prime Evening News for today, Thursday, March 7th, in the headlines. Senator Delbert Parris underscores the capacity of Dominica's youth to demand government action, citing instances where they have held the government accountable for certain national issues. Cricket West Indies CEO Johnny Greave revealed that the selection panels and systems are under review, with new policies and personnel expected to be announced after July 1st this year. And global ocean temperatures soared in February to a record-breaking 21.06 degrees Celsius, per the EU's Climate Change Service, according to an EU Climate Change Service report.
The Big Station.
Details coming up next.
DA.com. Right on cue.
Senator Delbert Parris highlighted the National Youth Council's initiative last year, which aimed to break down the government's budget for youths to understand. He emphasized the importance of such initiatives, stating that they should not be overlooked or underestimated. Senator Parris expressed his belief in the youth's ability to hold the government accountable, citing several instances where young individuals have raised their voices to address the country's challenges and demanded accountability from the government.
One thing happened this year that I don't want us to miss. The young people, the National Youth Council, took it upon themselves to go through and read that budget document. Not the nice speech by the Minister of Finance, but the actual estimates. Where's mine? It's somewhere there. The actual estimates, they went through it and they were able to challenge the government from a youth's perspective, looking at what was done and what was placed in the budget for them. And I commend us the role of young people. Young people are not as misguided as they seem or pretend to be sometimes. Maybe they do in today's day have a shorter attention span and they get distracted easily. You know, all this dopamine that we have, we soaking in every day on our job and at our homes. It's a lot of light and fanfare coming into our eyes all the time. But young people have the capacity to hold their governors accountable. And through the National Youth Council, you saw them doing that. But Mr. G, more than that, if your ears are to the ground, you look at social media, in recent times, you have seen a number of new voices coming out and holding the government to account.
Senator Parris also emphasized the importance of aligning the aspirations of young people with practical knowledge and skills, enabling them to take control of their future.
What we need to do is to marry that amount of desire and concern with actual insight and education, and most importantly, access. Access to resources, access to information, access to training. That these people, these young people, who are intelligent enough, who have gone to school, who have the world at their fingertips every single day, that they can take charge of their own future in their own country and succeed. You have productive sectors where you heard the minister in recent times, you know, again, a lot of political expediency talking about certain things. And to be honest, we can't blame them, right? Their areas of strength is where they will try as best they can to shine. But their areas of strength does not necessarily translate to good governance. Talking about that individuals should create multiple streams of income for themselves and so on and so on. And it is a good idea. But somebody else should say that, not the minister.
And that was opposition Senator Delbert Parris. President of the Dominica Freedom Party, Johnson Boston, remarked on the legacy of the DFP, highlighting that during and after their governance, there was a notable air connectivity to the island, ensuring consistent cargo shipping. Mr. Boston observed that while other nations are progressing towards a post-pandemic normalcy, Dominica appears to be stagnant. He emphasized the absence of layout, which previously facilitated cargo services, as a significant impact on air travel to and from Dominica.
Under the Freedom Party government, and even when we left government, before this government, you saw this movement of, you know, flights into Dominica. Yeah, there were small flights, yes. You had the ferry and so on coming. You saw this movement. Yes, we can say that COVID held us back a bit because during COVID there was not much of these activities. But every country or the country are resuming back to their normalcy, and we seem to be still in a box because we have a situation now that Liat is not in the sky. So our cargo entering to Dominica by air is somehow affected. And therefore, you have to be fighting now because those who are coming in, they put the priority on luggage and so forth, and therefore the cargo suffers. And so, and you can't have a country where you can't get your cargo by air into the country because certain things, you depend on the air traffic to take it into the country so that you can move as quickly as possible with your business because the boats may take a little longer.
Mr. Boston expressed the view that Dominica is facing significant challenges with the current administration seemingly complacent and inactive in addressing critical issues. He criticized the lack of effort to find alternative solutions to boost the country's economy, despite the mandate given by the Dominican people.
So we are almost like we're in a hole, a chokehold. And this government, in all fairness, we have given them a lot of our time, a lot of our opportunity. They have drawn salaries month after month, increased their salaries and look after themselves. And really, large cabinet, lazy cabinet. And really, yes. When you look at it, I mean the return. Like I remember Mike had said to PJ once, you try traveling like a flying saucer. Where is the beef? And so on. So that's the condition we have under this government. And whether you're supported or not, is not a joking matter. Because when they're finishing you with you, you might find yourself in the bottom of the pit. I mean, you see what happened to Haiti? Haiti, at the time, did not take the matter seriously. And then when they wake up, they just felt they're under a system of control. And to this day, they have still haven't been able to correct that.
President of the Dominica Freedom Party, Johnson Boston, Chinese Ambassador to Dominica, Lin Xiangjing, highlighted the enduring friendship between Dominica and China since the establishment of diplomatic relations 20 years ago. He noted China's consistent support for Dominica's economic and social development, aiming to cultivate a shared vision for the future. Ambassador Lin Xiangjing underscored the fruitful partnership in bolstering various sectors of Dominica's economy, including agriculture.
Upon completion, the school will be able to accommodate 100 children, offering safe, comfortable, and spacious classrooms, and equipped with advanced teaching facilities and a multifunctional playground. We believe that this school will become a paradise for the children to grow up and a source of pride for the community. Since the establishment of diplomatic relations 20 years ago, that was on March the 23rd, 2004, China has always been the good and true friend of Dominica, giving support in Dominica's economic and social development, and all in effort to build a community with a shared future for mankind. The two countries have achieved fruitful results in cooperation under the Belt and Road Initiative, especially in agriculture, infrastructure construction, medical and health education, and personnel training. Just last month, China and Dominica held a handover ceremony for hydroponic system as well as agricultural materials from the eighth phase of China Aid Dominican Agricultural Technical Cooperation Project. And with the assistance of Chinese agriculture experts, Dominica has introduced hydroponic system, which will further help to improve the modernization of agriculture and promote sustainable development in agriculture sector.
The ambassador reiterated the significance of commemorating the 20th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Dominica and China, which will be celebrated on March 14th in Dominica and later this month in Beijing, China.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are about to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the establishment of diplomatic relations between our two countries, which is the milestone in the history of our relationship. On that occasion, China and Dominica will organize a variety of rich and lively celebrations and continue to deepen cooperation in various fields in order to highlight the deep affection and traditional friendship between our two countries. Now, two receptions will be held. One will be on the March next week, on the March of 13th, at our embassy in Roseau, and another one will be held in Beijing at the end of this month. And this groundbreaking ceremony is also a gift for the 20th anniversary of our good relations. China is in the beautiful season, spring season of March now, and the Chinese people believe that spring symbolizes hope. We plant the seeds of hope in the spring, and we reap the fruit in the future with our hard work. I believe that with the joint efforts by our two sides, Tivo Primary School will be completed on time and even before schedule, I believe.
And that was the Chinese ambassador to Dominica, Lina Tiangxing. Leader of the Dominica Freedom Party, Bernard Ito, contends that a strong democratic nation relies on a robust electoral system. He highlighted the necessity for political maturity, urging a swift from viewing democracy as a partisan issue to recognizing it as a national concern. Ito underscored the importance of political leaders transcending partisan agendas to prioritize national interest.
The basis of a good democratic country is the electoral system. I mean, if that is amiss, if that is not working correctly, then you really do not have a democracy. And I think there needs to be enough political maturity to see that such a system is important as a national issue. It is not a matter of a party issue. And at some point, political parties, all political parties, and the leadership of those parties have to transcend those partisan ideas and look at as a nation, as a state, what sort of mechanisms of state would make us a more sober, responsible, free and fair and democratic country. One has to have that ability to rise to the level of being a statesman, a stateswoman, to make the right, to build the right institutions, to build the right machinery that allows a country to operate as a mature, stable democracy. That is what we aspire to be, and that's all we're asking.
Ito emphasized that the Freedom Party advocates for a principle where individuals prioritize national interest over political affiliations. He urged for reforms in Dominica's electoral system to enhance its credibility on the global stage.
We are pushing the principle that says, let us be bigger than party, and let us build and fix and understand and reform our electoral systems as necessary to ensure that Dominica can be respected globally as a responsible democratic country, as a country that recognizes individual rights, as a country that recognizes that the state has a role to play to ensure an orderly but fair society. So that's the appeal there. It's more than just a political campaigning issue. This is really about how mature we are as a country, how mature we are as a people, how mature we are as a political, our politics is. You know, it's 40 plus years. How mature are we when it comes to the big questions of governance? How effective are we at governing ourselves? Again, to seek respectability in the eyes of the world and the eyes of ourselves, of course, and our citizens. And that is what electoral reform is all about.
And that was Bernard Ito, leader of the Dominica Freedom Party. Social scientist Simeon Joseph emphasizes the importance of fair resource distribution in discussions about good governance. He queries the current measures in place that do not ensure equal allocation of state resources, irrespective of political affiliations. Among the Dominican population, Joseph added that the perception of security across the board by the state is crucial for the Dominican people.
In terms of our understanding of the purpose of government, we can ask ourselves further, What about the equal distribution of resources, which is one of the main purposes of government? What has been implemented to ensure that according to our country, we have a system in place where we have equal distribution of Dominica's resources? Then again, we can say, do Dominicans feel that the state provides security to the people? And to what I mean, we know in ancient times, if we study the history of politics and governments, the kings and the queens and the oligarchy were supposed to provide things. But to some extent, when we think of our people feeling secure, have the policies that have been put in place from the different wings of government, does that regulate a certain amount of peace and security and encourage people to live to feel that they are healthy within their state? Okay. Then what about the promotion of the rule of law? Okay, this is the purpose of government.
Joseph raised additional questions about whether the government is evenly developing different sectors of the economy, such as health and education, to stop the escalation in Dominica's poverty levels.
And so when we talk about the purpose of the promote the rule of law, when we promote the rule of law, it inherently says that no one is above the law, and that the government's role is to ensure that disputes and other things are resolved, whereby when the rule of law is enacted, people feel protected, that our communities are shaped, and that there is a fostering of the law. What about the delivery of essential services? I mean, when we look at our healthcare, our education system, our infrastructure, our social services, that's one of the purposes of government. Are these things being done equitably in our society to ensure that the poverty levels of our country, right, are not spiked, but that they are diminished to a certain level whereby people can take responsibility for themselves, when because they are provided things like clean water, adequate food, employment, and the government has put in place economic policies to promote development.
Social scientist Simeon Joseph. In other news, Cricket West Indies CEO Johnny Greave revealed that the organization is currently reviewing its selection panels and systems, with plans to introduce new policies and personnel after July 1st this year. Regarding the men's selection panel, Greave mentioned during an interview with i95FM based in Trinidad and Tobago that there are no immediate intentions to replace Roland Butcher, an England batsman born in Barbados. Greave explained that the selection policy and panel are currently under scrutiny by Cricket West Indies Director of Cricket, Myle Boscombe. He emphasized that the final report on these matters won't be presented to the board until after announcing the 15-member squad for the ICC Men's 20 World Cup. Darren Sammy and Reuven Powell, the head coach and incumbent T20I captain respectively, are expected to provide input on player selections, with Desmond Haynes leading the process as the lead selector. Greave acknowledged the success achieved this year, that's last year including victories against South Africa, India and England. Despite a series loss to Australia, he expressed hope for a stable squad leading into the World Cup, anticipating changes to the selection policy and panel afterwards. Haynes' contract is set to expire at the end of June, prompting efforts to establish a new selection system by then, incorporating updated policies and panels. And the EU's Climate Change Service reported that ocean temperatures soared to unprecedented heights in February. The average global sea surface temperature hit a staggering 21.06 degrees Celsius, or that's 69.91 degrees Fahrenheit, surpassing the previous record of 20.98 degrees Celsius, or that's 69.77 degrees Fahrenheit, set in August of 2023.
Ocean temperatures hit their highest all-time record in February, a startling milestone that saw the surface of the world's seas hit 69.9 degrees Fahrenheit on average. That's according to the EU's Copernicus Climate Change Service, or CS3, on Thursday. They say the new record broke a previous average of almost 69.8 degrees in the Northern Hemisphere summer last August, in a data set that goes back to 1979. This last month was also the hottest February on record, the ninth consecutive month to set their own monthly record. An El Niño climate pattern this year, fueled by warmer surface waters in the eastern Pacific, is driving extra heat. However, Carla Buontempo, director of the CS3, says human-caused climate change is still largely to blame.
So there are a number of co-causes, but fundamentally, and these are fluctuations. So you have, as for El Niño, positive phases and negative phases. So on the long-term average, they typically average to zero. But climate change keeps adding up because we keep pumping greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. And so this fundamentally makes new temperature records more likely to be broken.
This week, marine scientists warn of a likely fourth global mass coral bleaching event in the Southern Hemisphere, potentially the worst in history due to warming waters. Corals bleach under heat stress and will expel the helpful algae that live in their tissues, leaving behind a pale skeleton, which makes them vulnerable to starvation and disease, and many die. That can lead to the collapse of reef ecosystems, leaving coastlines vulnerable and fisheries depleted. While the global sea surface record excludes polar oceans, conditions there are also concerning. Antarctic sea ice hit its third lowest extent on record in February, 28% below average. The CS3 said El Niño is now weakening in the equatorial Pacific, but the air temperatures over the oceans remain at an unusually high level.
That's the Prime Evening News, and here's a recap of the headlines. Senator Delbert Parris underscores the capacity of Dominica's youth to demand government action, citing instances where they have held the government accountable for certain national issues.
The Big Station, Q95.
Cricket West Indies CEO Johnny Greave revealed that the selection panels and the systems are under review, with new policies and personnel expected to be announced after July 1st this year. And the global ocean temperatures soared in February to a record-breaking 21.06 degrees Celsius per the EU's Climate Change Center, according to an EU Climate Change Service report. I've been your presenter for this environment.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional.